Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Let's welcome the 24th head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska, Will Bolt. I figure you know how to put one of these on.
See if I can remember.
Right number, huh?
That's right.
That's a popular number.
It is number 7, and it is higher number 3. With Bill Moose pulling the strings there. Great to be with you on a Thursday with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Moose has made more than 3 hires, but the 3 major sports for men all have new coaches. Frost, the mayor, now Will Bolt is in. And we'll spend some time talking with head coach Will Bolt. Our chance to chat with him a little earlier today at the press conference. So that is coming up in about 30 minutes. Parker Gabriel is a few moments away from the Lincoln Journal Star. Plenty of football to get into with him. Roby, going to hear his name called tonight. Where and when will that happen with the NBA draft? So thoughts on that. Scott Frost broke the internet when it comes to what his guys are doing this offseason with the program, and a loaded up second hour. Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. Brad Edwards, we'll talk some CWS and college football with him. Mike Babcock will join us. And then one of the men consulted by Bill Moose on Will Bolt, our friend of the show, 3-time national champion, longtime coach at Oregon State, Pat Casey, will join us in an hour and a half. Coach Casey enjoying retirement, but took the phone call from Bill Moose on Will Bolt and get some ideas. So we'll spend some time with Coach Casey. Can get in 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. It was good to see Will Bolt again today. Good to hear from him. We have some of that to talk about here to start off the show. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and send us a tweet if you want. You can find me, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio, or get a hold of Colton Stone, 2 birds, 1 stone. That's where you follow Colton at on Twitter. We'll hit some Bolt. We'll talk Ronald Tompkins as he's going to make his way to Lincoln, and some thoughts on Roby. But Will Bolt saying all the right things here, but you wanted to know, and he was asked this early in the press conference, you know, what kind of style are you going to implore? What type of baseball team are you going to have? Are you going to run? What are you going to do offensively? And Charlie Sheen couldn't have said it better than Will Bolt said it.
Winning. Whatever that's got to look like, honestly, just whatever it takes. Just a bunch of guys that are fighters. They're gonna scrap. You got to have talent too. If you have talent and you have guys that play that way, you do win a lot of games. Yeah, I've talked to Darren. Yep, I've talked to him a few times. He's the greatest Husker I know. There's nobody that loves Nebraska more than him. He's a brilliant baseball man, and obviously we all know he's a great family man. So
that's kind of a montage there. Erstad, one of the men consulted about who should replace him. Will Bolt's name came up, obviously. Winning baseball, that's the style you're going to see at Nebraska with Will Bolt. And in-state is going to be big. In-state is going to be big for Nebraska. That means the kids out of Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island that can throw. That means kids out of northeast Nebraska. That means kids out of Omaha and Lincoln will be back on the diamond again if Will Bolt, Jeff Christie, Lance Harvell have anything to say about it. So an exciting time for Nebraska baseball. Will Bolt unveiled today. We'll hear more from Coach Bolt, his press conference here in a moment. We'll take your thoughts, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. What are you excited most about with Nebraska baseball? Think about it, man. I mean, Michigan's unbeaten. They're sitting pretty. We had this discussion when I was up in Omaha, and Colton and Elijah were back here at the station. Michigan's there. Nebraska's not far off. It isn't easy. It is not easy at all to get to Omaha, let alone win Omaha. But it can be done. And Will Bolt saw how that was done, was part of why it was done, and is going to recreate it back here in Lincoln. Brian's been on hold. Brian, go ahead. Thanks for calling Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Yeah, first off, not the reason I'm calling, but I'm really happy with the hire. It was a great hire for who you could get.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's talking about how Will Bolt's going to recruit the state. Well, why didn't Darren Erstad recruit the state?
I think Darren Erstad tried to recruit the state. I don't know that Ted Silva had as many connections in state, being a non-Nebraska guy. I think Ted Silva's got a hell of a lot of really good connections, right? But I just know when it comes to in-state, I just don't know that they were there, honestly.
They just didn't have the ends?
I don't think they had the ends, and I don't know what the philosophy was.
I don't know
what the philosophy was. Let's look at Nebraska kids that may not be baseball-only kids and look at athletes to get them here and work with them, right? We think they can be a baseball player and stock them into being a baseball player.
Yep.
Or let's see what I got out on the West Coast. I haven't asked Silva why. I haven't sat him down and grilled him on why you didn't recruit the state of Nebraska. But just some of my research indicates they went west really early in his tenure, and they kind of drifted back, thankfully, in state. You look at what UNO did. You look at what Creighton's been doing. You look at what Childress has been doing. You look at what Van Horn's been doing. There's been an open gate.
Yep,
for those guys to come to Lincoln, come to Omaha, come to Central Nebraska. You've seen it, I've seen it, and it needs to stop if Nebraska wants to get to Omaha. I think it will stop with Will Bolt here.
Yeah, and I was still waiting on Colton's green hippie juice recipe.
Okay, we did this, Brian. We did this Tuesday. I had him start the show with your hippie juice, Colton. Do you want to just do a third time here? Just tell him what's in the hippie juice.
I'm sorry, I wasn't tuning in.
No,
I was
working.
Work's overrated. Go ahead, Colton.
It's coffee, spinach.
Hemp?
No, not yet. Your CBD is legal, so I mean.
I interrupted
anyway.
You. Go ahead.
So coffee, spinach, protein, peanut butter, oatmeal, and then occasionally fruit.
Well then, okay, I guess
it looks like puke
and ice.
I guess. Yeah, yeah. It looks like something that I release after a long night of drinking.
That's fair. There you go,
without
Brian.
Being too explicit.
Cheers, Brian.
I'll try it and I'll let you know.
we'll have that phone call live. Brian, take care. Thanks for calling.
All right, I'll see you later. Uh-huh.
All right, so there's the Colton hippie juice. Brian's happy he got that recipe. How do you make your rub for the ribs? Never tell you. Colton, how about the hippie juice? Well, you see, I do peanut butter and spinach together. Weird combos happen.
See,
do you remember P.O. Pears at all?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. P.O. Pears had their Jiffy Burger, I think is what it was called, right? And it was a little red onion. It was a little cheese in a very just greasy, awesome grilled burger. And he had bacon. Then he had a little smear of peanut butter on top. And that worked wonderfully.
See, it can. I know Laszlo's does one that the first time I had it, I was like, I don't think it works. And then I had a couple of drinks in me the next time
it
I had it.
Absolutely
and I was like,
works.
Oh, yeah. I was like, for sure. This is, I don't know, whoever thought of it was probably in the state that I'm in right now. And
no, that's all right. That's all right. Will Bolt back to his day today. As Nebraska baseball, Bill Moose, Will Bolt moving forward. The first thing Will did was tip his cap to Darren Erstad and all that Erstad's done for the program. Very classy, very appropriate from Will Bolt.
The first thing I'd like to do, really before doing anything else, before I really get in anything else, I want to make sure, take a moment to thank and honor Darren Erstad for all the time and effort, the heart and soul that he poured into Nebraska baseball for the last 8 years. So just wanted to take a moment to do that. Him making the decision to go and be with his family. It's one I'm not surprised about, just knowing Darren and being around him. But just wanted to make sure I thank him. He's the greatest Husker I know. He's been everything to Nebraska baseball and really the entire athletic department. So just wanted to say thank you, Darren, for everything you've done and everything you're going to continue to do in the background.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty cool and very appropriate. And there'll still be some phone call and text messages from Will Bolt to Darren Erstad. Last thought here before we get into some Ronald Tompkin news for Nebraska football. And we'll be talking with Will Bolt in 20 minutes. Let's get the lowdown on the moment Nebraska got to Omaha. That was Will Bolt making a catch in the Super Regional. And then explaining what it takes to get to Omaha, that plan of attack.
It's really kind of a unique situation in that I've had the opportunity to literally sit in every chair that you could sit in with Nebraska baseball. And I think back to it, I was a scrawny kid coming out of Texas. Dave Van Horn and Rob Childers took a chance on me to come up here and play and have a chance to play in two College World Series and actually have a locker as a senior for the first year of Hawksfield at Haymarket Park. And now to today, just having a chance to be the head coach is I can look back on all those experiences as a player, as a manager, as a coach, and truly say that this is the highlight of it all, is to be the head coach of Nebraska baseball. And I just look forward to carrying on the momentum that Coach Erstad has helped provide for this program, and strive every day to just do the little things, just to do whatever it takes to help us become the team that has a chance to play in Omaha year in and year out and be the last team standing. So,
pretty good story he told earlier. I screwed that cut up. Good message from Will Bolt there. But, yeah, he made the out and shallow center and then wanted to go dog pile. Pretty good memory for Will Bolt as Nebraska fans want to get back to Omaha. Comments from Bill Moose on that coming up. Okay, let's get into some Nebraska football. More on Will Bolt, more with Will Bolt coming up here on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt and Colton Stone. So some good news. We talked about Jakeem Green earlier this week. Yesterday was kind of Jakeem Green Day. And the fact that he may be wondering, right? He may decommit from Nebraska. He may stay committed to Nebraska. We just know that a visit to Lubbock sounded likely. We'll check in with Parker Gabriel on that here in 10 minutes. But how about Ronald Tompkins? Ronald Tompkins out of Grayson High School, flat-out stud ball player, Georgia product. Think of the backs that come out of Georgia and find their way to Florida State or find their way to Clemson or find their way to Georgia or find their way, pick an SEC school. Georgia is littered with talented backs, and Nebraska was able to get their hands on Ronald Tompkins, and he has officially been admitted to Nebraska. Multiple sources confirming that to Hail Varsity. Kudos to Greg Smith for being all over this. And Grayson High School, that stud back Nebraska wants and needs in this offense, now fully qualified after getting the ACT score he needed. Not interested with the phone call. Thank you. So there were some slight academic concerns. Thompson was under the radar in part because, A, he had a knee injury that busted up his senior season. And then it's not only do you have to have a certain GPA, but you've got to get a test score to match that GPA. If you're a 3.5 guy, doesn't mean you need to knock out the ACT or the SAT at a B-plus average. But you need a certain number on top of a certain GPA. Mm-hmm. It used to be one or the other. Things have changed and evolved moving forward. But the knee injury, the grade, and the test score, specifically the test score, not the grades, were a little precarious for Nebraska. So Kenyatta Watson was an assistant at Grayson. And, you know, the thing about Tompkins is Nebraska was all over him, and Tompkins was worried that Nebraska may turn their back on him because guy had a severe ACL injury. And from the moment that happened, Nebraska was right there to have his back. They know what type of talent he can be. They say he can be special. And the thing that's been laid out for him from Scott Frost is, you know, they expect great things from Ronald. The tweet out from Ronald Tompkins, hashtag GBR, ready to work. And that's really cool. So Nebraska is about scouting big-time talent. They're about acquiring big-time talent. But they are not mercenaries at it. They are going to stand by a kid either academically, athletically, if there's injury. And I think you're going to get the payoff here down the road from Tompkins. So he is good. He's versatile. He's a hard worker. He's not a complainer. He's a dude that just puts his nose down. And Grayson sends their roster. I mean, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say Grayson sends their roster to Division I, okay? And this is the best guy on the roster pre-injury. He'll get rehabbed. He'll get back. Not sure what type of contribution he can make. We'll talk more with Parker Gabriel on that. The point is the kid worked hard. He got in. That's huge for the Nebraska running back room. Huge day today as Will Bolt unveiled. Bill Moose, Will Bolt, Jeff Christie, Lance Arvell. Good news for Nebraska. Off and running on a Thursday. Parker Gabriel coming up. Will Bolt, our conversation with the new head Husker baseball coach at 40 past. And at 5:40, we'll run down Pat Casey, former Oregon State head coach. His thoughts on Will Bolt. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and, of course, Colton Stone. Pat Casey coming up in about an hour or so. We welcome in Parker Gabriel with the Lincoln Journal Star. You can follow him on Twitter at HuskerExtraPG. Parker, good to see you at the presser today. What were a couple of your takeaways with Coach Bolt?
Yeah, good to see you too, Schmidt. I think, to me, there are a couple things I thought were interesting. One that I wrote about this afternoon was that this was a little bit of a different coaching search for Bill Moose, just in the sense of, I know he really liked Will Bolt, obviously, once he got to know him a little bit and learned, I think even before he actually met him, as he learned about Will Bolt and sort of what a good fit seemingly he would be for Nebraska. But Moose said, you know, he didn't have his typical short list fully together when Darren Erstad informed him that he was going to retire. And but he said, even though I didn't have a short list, that he had a list of people that he trusted in baseball that he was going to sort of tap to help identify good candidates. And Pat Casey, former coach of Oregon State, was one of them. Obviously, Darren Erstad and then Rob Childress were the three that he sort of mentioned today. So I thought that was one of them. And then thought it was great when you know, it was the answer that Will Bolt has already, but when someone asked what style of baseball he wanted to play in, he said winning. To me, that's sort of what the line on Will Bolt's been all along, right? Is he's cut from the Dave Van Horn cloth of just being a competitor and having learned or amplified his own competitiveness by learning from Dave Van Horn and playing for Dave Van Horn, and then obviously learning a lot from Rob Childress too. So, interesting day. Obviously, he's excited about the staff that he's put together, and it was an interesting scene over there this afternoon.
You know what, though, and just kind of bumping into Bill Moose before I took off. I mean, he's smiling, man. I mean, he's done his job exquisitely to go get really good people, winners. But he feels like this thing's ready to launch. And, I mean, there was just a lot of pride in his smile today.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And it's interesting, right? Because, I mean, Bill Moose now has not only, you know, everyone knows Scott Frost, Brett Hoiberg, and now Will Bolt in the three biggest men's sports, but he's hired eight head coaches now since he became athletic director in less than 2 years. He was hired in October of 2017. So that's a pretty remarkable clip. And he talked today about how it's been, some of it's been for different reasons. Obviously, you know, football wasn't going in the right direction. That was his estimation. Basketball was a harder call, but I think he arrived at the same conclusion. And then he's had other situations, women's golf being one of them, and baseball being another, where coaches retired, you know. And mm-hmm. so there's been different styles of coaching searches or different reasons for them. But Bill Moose, I mean, Bill Moose didn't want to see Darren Erstad go, but I think Bill Moose revels in going to find coaches and that challenge of finding someone good and having those be some of the moments and some of the decisions that will, you know, define his legacy here, you know. And so I think you're right. I mean, it was a smiling day, and I think in part that's because it's a good, you know, he found someone who he thinks is a good fit for Nebraska baseball. And some of it's because my guess is that if you're an athletic director and if you're Bill Moose in particular, there's not many things that give you a rush like a coaching search does.
Well, that's when you not only show off what type of dude you are, you know, what kind of closer you are, but also you are attached to that program and legacy based on your decision. And, you know, history's not written yet, but it feels a lot better around here after covering things for a lot of years.
I think you're right. Yeah, and he's inspired a lot of his role as an ambassador sort of to Nebraska fans and also to donors and to the donor base. He's helped himself, obviously, in both of those domains, which are both important domains, by infusing some excitement with the people that he's been able to hire, you know. And so time is the ultimate, you know, juror when it comes to these sorts of things. And time will tell if all of these or most of these or some of these hires are successful ones. But certainly at the outset of each new coach's tenure, there's been a lot of excitement around the program.
Few minutes here, Parker Gabriel with us, Lincoln Journal star, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's switch gears to some football and Ronald Tompkins getting eligible and did what he needed to do, busted his tail for the ACT, SAT. I'm not sure which one it was that he had to improve the score on. Both of them suck. I hated them. I hated them anyway. And he did the old test prep and got what he needed. Where are we at with Tompkins now that he's, you know, going to be here at the end of the week? What's an expectation for him? I know he can be really, really good and Frost and held and everybody on Nebraska's jacked that he's coming. But from an injury standpoint, what do you know? How far away is he, or is he ready to go? I mean, what are you getting when he walks in the door here this week?
Well, I think he'll get a player who's relatively healthy. He had the latest knee injury. It was in their first game last year, so that in Grayson High's first game of his senior year, and that was in late August. You know, so you're almost 10 months post injury and post surgery, and normally for guys of that age, you know, it's a 7 to 9 month recovery process. The thing is, he's done both now. You know, he's had a reconstructive surgery on each of his knees. His junior year was cut short by one. His senior year cut short by the other. And so I don't think, as much as it would be great for Nebraska, obviously, if he was an impact player right away, I'm interested to see where they fall on the risk-reward factor there. I mean, maybe they determined that he's perfectly healthy and that both of those injuries were sort of freak things and he's not, you know, at any more or less risk of knee injury than anybody else on the roster, and he's full go right away. I just wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, you can't train specifically to avoid an ACL injury, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that worked in a little bit slowly. But look, I mean, the difference in getting here on, you know, June 25th or whatever is a lot. It's big compared to getting here on August 1st or right when fall camp begins. So that can only help Ronald Tompkins.
Jakeem Green, what's your gut say? I know maybe you can inform me a little bit. I know Tech's on his radar. Is that this weekend, next weekend? And give me a percentage as far as, you know, the risk of losing the talented defensive tackle.
Yeah, it's this weekend. He's headed down to Texas Tech. I don't know. It's a hard one. I mean, he hasn't talked about it. I mean, I think several different outlets sort of made the pilgrimage down to Highland. I did that back in May.
It's a beautiful drive, isn't it?
I talked to him. Oh, it's a beautiful drive, yeah, especially with I-29 having been closed, all the traffic on Highway 75. But anyways, he's a perfectly personable guy when you're standing in front of him, but he's not big on doing phone interviews, and so he hasn't talked about this, you know, taking these visits so far. I know one of the way that Nebraska approaches this is when it's a junior college player or a graduate transfer and you're outside of a signing period, all that you can do is sign a tender, and it's a financial aid agreement. And it only binds the school to the player, not the other way around. So that's Nebraska did not do that with Jakeem Green. It only would have made a difference for Nebraska then. So he's a verbal commitment at this point. At the end of the day, I sort of think that he'll stick with Nebraska. That's a pure guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, but I just think that Nebraska's put in the legwork. They've made sure that they could get him into school. They've stuck by him. I'm sure they're still in touch with him. I think that at the end of the day, he'll wind up in Lincoln, but the news about him taking official visits certainly decreased my confidence in that from where it would have been, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Barker Gabriel's with us, Lincoln Journal star at Husker Extra PG is where you follow him on Twitter. About 2 minutes, Barker, Friday Night Lights, the sequel tomorrow night. Some names or some kids you're interested in checking out.
Yeah, well, the all of the official visitors, and I think that I know of, there's at least six, and those guys probably won't participate in the camp. Blaise Gunnarsson did last week before his official visit started. I'd be a little surprised if the guys that are coming to campus for officials take part. But there's two. It's sort of a wide receiver weekend, you know. I'm guessing Xavier Betts is going to be around, the verbally committed kid. They've got a couple wide receivers coming in for officials, and Joe from Florida, and Omar Manning, a junior college guy. But then there's two more working out. One's Dominic Watt, who is a signee in the 2018 class, didn't get qualified, so he's in junior college down in Kansas now. And the other is an in-state guy that doesn't have an offer at this point in Ty Han from Johnson Brock. I think that those guys can both really help themselves in Nebraska's eyes by testing well and playing well in the camp and all that. And so these things don't always give you a ton of evaluation, and those are both guys that Nebraska's already familiar with. But I'm interested to watch how they work and how they approach Friday for both those guys.
Barker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star. Parker, we'll get caught up again soon. Great info as always, man. Thanks for the time today.
Yep, yes, mate.
All right, there he is. Parker Gabriel with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Lincoln Journal star. Some good thoughts there on the Bolt presser, and of course the weekend for Nebraska. Tompkins and Green, names you're thinking about, and yeah, the wide receiver weekend. I want to remind you about Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Your summer plans need to include Madonna Proactive. Think about how nice it is outside right now. You could be sitting by a pool. You could take the kids to the pool. And also enjoy strength training, cardio, fitness classes galore. Can log on MadonnaProactive.org or give them a shout, 402-420-0000. Take the tour, get signed up, and be part of their summer membership crew with Madonna Proactive. Will Bolt, our chat with the head man next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 hour from now, the Former head coach and multiple national champion at Oregon State, Pat Casey, going to be with us. His thoughts on Nebraska landing Will Bolt. Mike Babcock coming up from Hail Varsity. Brad Edwards of ESPN. Big thanks to Parker Gabriel. We'll get our interview going here with Will Bolt in just a moment. But we were talking about Will Bolt, the hiring today, the press conference. A lot of smiling faces and a lot of good to see you again. Discussions going on because of Bolt's time here at Nebraska, because of Bolt's time under Coach Erstad. And this was Will Bolt. I meant to get this right. This wasn't a Colton fumble. This was my fault. Look at me. It's accountability. I watch one video of Frost with military training and the team, and all of a sudden I'm not eschewing mistakes. It's already working. But this is Coach Bolt talking about that final out and the road to Omaha, which you know has happened and you want it to happen again.
I think we had a three-run lead. We had two runners on, and there was a pop-up in shallow center field. And honestly, I can say there was no other thought that crossed my mind other than I cannot wait to dogpile when this ball comes down. So that was kind of what I was thinking right there. And just, you know, to have that opportunity and be in that spot, it was obviously a huge moment for Nebraska baseball. And just, I guess, just being around a bunch of winners every day, you know, from the coaching staff to the players and those type of things. Those are things that you draw every day from this game, is the people that you're around. And we have a lot of really good things in place here right now to be able to take this program to the next, I guess, make the next step and carry that momentum that Darren helped create.
You know, you talk about programs taking next steps and you feel good about Nebraska football. You look at the preseason projections, right? And that next step feels like a division title. We'll see. We'll talk with Babers about that. I think it can happen. It might, if it does happen, it might be ahead of schedule, honestly, because I mean they've had to kind of recreate a culture and develop some depth and increase their strength. So that's not a given. You know what you see on social media with Coach Abdelmassi and of course Coach Hoiberg with the basketball program and the guys they got coming in. They've really turned over the roster. So it could be good, but it could be, you know, still some growing pains. Baseball is right there. And are they going to be right there again next year? You think they can be because of what's coming back and the mindset they got with their former head guy in Coach Erstad and the guy that they got coming in now in Will Bolt. Here is our conversation with Will Bolt here on Hail Varsity Radio. Will Bolt's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, congratulations, big day. When did you know Nebraska was right for you?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, as soon as, you know, I'd heard that Darren had resigned, my phone started blowing up, like I said, and, you know, I never really thought about it till that point, to be honest with you. I was, like I said, I'm a big believer in just doing the best job you can at the place you're at. If you start looking over the horizon, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So really only the moment that the Darren resigned and I kind of started, okay, like this may be an opportunity for me. And as it turned out, it moved pretty quick and I couldn't be more excited.
You mentioned you love tough ball players. What does tough mean to you? What's that definition in your mind?
Tough. Baseball is a game of repetition. It's a game where if you don't have that ability to just repeat what you do day in and day out, that you're going to get exposed. So tough-minded guys have the ability to do that. That's what one thing that we're going to, you know, continue to instill, something Darren was big on as well. But just those guys that just kind of do whatever it takes on the field. They'll play anywhere that you ask them to play. They'll hit anywhere in the lineup that you ask them to hit. Just kind of guys that are going to do whatever it takes for the team.
What developed your mental toughness?
I think just being a smaller guy, honestly, just kind of having to scrap my way through. It's never really the most talented or the most toolsed up guy when it came to baseball, but just kind of the run of the litter, trying to scrap his way to the front to get the food bowl. That was instilled in me at a young age from my parents too. So just having that mentality where I wasn't going to be denied. I never really used my height or my size as an excuse. I thought I used it to my advantage. So I think that's probably where some of that comes from, that chip on the shoulder.
Will Bolt with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what words of wisdom did you get about Nebraska from Coach Van Horn and from Coach Childress?
Yeah, just, you know, obviously it's a place where you can win. It's just a place where you've got the players, you've got the facilities, you've got the support from the administration, you've got everything that you need, you know, to win games. And like I said, after that, it's all about making sure you got the right players too. So learned a lot from those guys through the years, and they've been incredible mentors to me.
What's your take on the state of Nebraska, the in-state talent? You played with it here.
Right.
You've also recruited it when you were down south. What's the outlook for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of good players in the state, and I think they're getting more and more exposure just as kind of the age of social media has come about, even more so in the last 5 years. So we've got to work even harder to make sure that we kind of evaluate the guys at an early age, foster those relationships with the high school coaches, and just make sure that, again, Nebraska is kind of at the front of their mind, not something that's a backup plan for them. Or we're just going to make sure that, I think if we do that, we create some momentum that way. We're going to win with Nebraska kids. I mean, that's the bottom line. They bleed for this state. They bleed for this program. And, you know, that's going to be high priority for us.
What's the state of the Big Ten you're walking into now compared to when you made the jump?
It's gotten better and better every year. Look at Michigan, kind of what they've done. You know, they're doing some really good things. You look across the conference, the facilities are better, the coaching's better. A lot more good players are staying in their home states to play. There's still some guys going south, but a lot of these teams are building from kind of the surrounding areas. And so there's a lot of good baseball, and the standings are always really tight at the end of the year, so it comes down to one or two games.
Last thought here, and Will, thanks for a couple of minutes. When it comes to development, player development, what's kind of top one or two of your priorities to get a kid that you think can do it, but getting him to that point where he does do it?
Yeah, the communication between coach and player is huge, because really they don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. And so kind of having that relationship with the guys, that open line of communication where they know and understand where you're coming from, the message is just totally – it falls on deaf ears if you don't have that relationship. So I think that's one of the biggest parts of player development, is just making sure that the communication is there between coach and player.
Coach, congrats. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Good to get caught up with Will Bolt. Kind of rapid fire there, about 5 minutes, five good minutes there with your new Husker head baseball coach, Will Bolt. Reminder about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. And the seatbelt or the windshield, which do you choose? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. 15 minutes away, Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. Get into some college football thoughts on Nebraska, the Big Ten, and programs that are just rolling. And you know the two I'm thinking of. Where's Nebraska at? Not just wins and losses or five-star or three-star, but when it comes to that whole culture, right? We'll get into that with Brad Edwards, Mike Babcock, and then former head coach Pat Casey. Next hour, Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Brad Edwards, Mike Babcock, Pat Casey coming up. The fan poll can log on hailvarsity.com. Will Bolt, your new head baseball coach, introduced today. Good footage, video, audio, all that good stuff, hailvarsity.com. How do you grade the hire, A through F? If you vote F, turn in your Nebraska card and leave. That's not added there on the fan poll question. I'm just suggesting things. Survey is out. How long would $10 million last you? The consensus, 7 years. Can you say 70? If I had $10 million, say you split it in half, gives you five. Or say you just put 10 in the bank. You could have a hell of a lot of fun with $10 million and still not blow it all. Colton, your eyes are telling me that you're thinking about how to incinerate that money.
Yeah.
You are. You are.
Well, here's the thing. I think what you would do is take half of it and put it away.
Sure. So you have five to play with.
So you got five, you know, for someone like me, you figure out your student loans, you figure out a house, figure out a car, and then if you have kids, figure out how to get them through college. And then after that, some
it's
fun
you.
Stuff.
It's you. Yeah. 47% will put in the savings, 44% will buy property, 43% will pay off debt, 37% donate to charity, 36% say set up a fund for my child, 35% pay off or purchase car, 35% say travel, 34% say start business. In that 35% when it comes to or, to travel, think about it, man. I mean, you could have the ultimate college football weekend every weekend for a lot of years. You could buy that skybox at Memorial Stadium you've always wanted, or at least club seats.
Right.
You could, every weekend's a road trip, get yourself an RV, and get yourself an RV driver. Right? I mean, that's where it would go. If I had $10 million handed to me after doing all of the following I listed, it'd be one mother of a tailgate party every Saturday, home and away.
Well, and see, that's the thing. It's like, by saving half of it, it's like, you know that you can cover things if, like, some emergency happens, but, like, by spending some of it, you get to go do things. It's that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. It's just, how much gratification do you want?
Oh, ultimately, a lot.
All of it.
Latest mock draft from CBS Sports is out. They have Roby going to New Orleans. The Pelicans land in at number 39. That's nine spots into the second round. Also projected Colton's Miami Heat at 44. Mm-hmm. I've seen Philly snagging him with the 33rd pick. I have also seen San Antonio taking him in the first round at 29. We're all going to be wrong, and somebody like Dallas or the new-look Sacramento Kings, I'm not sure what I think of their new logo. Maybe Detroit. How about Brad Stevens in Boston with a Roby? That could work.
I'm kind of at the point where the Miami Heat can only mess things up, so they might as well take him at number 13.
I did see a picture of Roby in an OKC jersey, and I'm just wondering how Dr. Petey would handle that. I'm not seeing OKC with a draft pick, however. I am not. Hour two coming up. Brad Edwards next. Pat Casey on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Hour 1, if you missed Will Bolt, that'll get posted on the ESPN Lincoln In Demand section, also on Twitter. Former Oregon State head coach Pat Casey, part of that recommendation to get Will Bolt to Lincoln, to Bill Moose. We'll hear from Pat Casey in about 45 minutes. We say hi to hit some college football and talk some CWS with Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day, at JBradEdwards on Twitter. Brad, last time we were talking, we were digging into some Texas A&M possibilities. How are you?
It's been a while. A lot has happened, but I guess you still have an unanswered question there.
No, it worked out, and it's not Rob Childress, but it is Will Bolt, who played at Nebraska, has spent time with Coach Childress. That announcement came last Friday, the official announcement from Nebraska. The presser was today, and I know you're connected down at A&M. You're connected around the SEC. This was a high recommendation, and obviously with the Nebraska ties, a no-brainer, but it was still a pretty good get for Bill Moose. And your quick thought here, just from what you're hearing from your A&M people on Will Bolt and his move back to Lincoln.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't even aware until you just told me, if you hadn't guessed that from my response to it. So
sure.
Yeah, I've actually been doing all sorts of different things over the last week or so, and I've been catching a little CWS when I can. But when I'm not working on it, it's not first and foremost in my thoughts the way that it used to be. But fortunately, I've been able to focus more on college football than I used to in June. So that part's good. But remember the last time we talked, I'd made the comment about whether it was Childress or someone else. The question is, you know, are you able to find someone who really, you know, who's really good, who's really qualified, and feels like that the Big Ten is going to allow you to be able to get to where you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And with Michigan having done what they've done in this tournament, I think it answers that question. I'm not saying that it's going to, you know, make it an easy path, but if nothing else, what you've seen from Michigan says that it can be done. And I think that's a big part of it right there.
It is. And why not us, so to speak, if you're the rest of the Big Ten, if Michigan's doing it? Because there's not been a dominant team in the Big Ten. Indiana's been pretty much the most consistent, right? But Michigan's not always hitting on all cylinders. And in fact, they were darn lucky to get into the regionals, and they've gotten hot. Nebraska's not far removed either. And Brad, you were a part of a lot of CWS seasons where you saw what it was like when Nebraska was in Omaha, and it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. I mean, you saw different years with Nebraska making their way just 60 miles away to the Mecca of college baseball.
Yeah, look, and it is, as we've talked about before, it's a huge home field advantage when they're able to get there. And a big part of this is it's just being good enough to get into the tournament. You know, because like you say with Michigan, like you see that if you can just get there, it's baseball. It's not like other sports where most of the time the more talented team is going to come out on top. Baseball just doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not saying you can get there. I mean, you're not going to get in the tournament if you don't have a certain amount of talent. But once you get there, when you're talking double elimination format, there's a whole lot of stuff that can happen. And it's funny. I was thinking about coming into this tournament, like that. First of all, we've come to expect that the number one overall seed's not going to win. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is in baseball. I mean, and look, at some point that number one seed will win again, but it's been a really long time since it happened. But most of the time over the last 15 years, the winner of the whole thing is not even one of the top eight seeds. And, Vanderbilt's looking awfully good right now, and they might put an end to that. But it's a sport where if you can just get there, and whether your pitching gets hot or your bats get hot at the right time, who knows what can happen. And so you don't have to be one of the best eight teams for the majority of the season in order to end up lifting that trophy at the end. And I think that's a good reason to believe that if you can just be consistent and get in that tournament every year, something wild and crazy could happen. Like the very last CWS that I worked for ESPN was the one when Fresno State won it. And I mean, if that wasn't an example, anything can happen in baseball. I don't know what would be.
A team that was, you know, 5 to 10 games over 500, and a guy named Judge playing the outfield for you. It was pretty special, but I hear what you're saying. Brad Edwards with us on Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN Insider College Game Day, at J. Brad Edwards on Twitter. Let's spend a minute or several here on some college football. And I wanted to get your thoughts here. I don't know if you've seen any of the news, but I came across something on Twitter that I wanted your reaction to. And it was the disgruntled former wide receiver coach at Ohio State, Zach Smith. He's got his own podcast. I have not listened to it, but he does go on to detail in that podcast that it sounds like Urban Meyer to USC is going to happen. What are your thoughts on that? Because, of course, Zach Smith has inside info since they both live in Dublin, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all can make our own decisions as to how trustworthy Zach Smith is. When Urban first announced that he was going to be done after the Rose Bowl, we had a discussion on our podcast, do you believe this? And we all agreed that it didn't feel the same as Bob Stoops. You know, that Stoops was stepping down at a time when it just seemed so unusual to do it that you had to figure he was serious. You know, and look, Stoops is going to dabble in it here with the XFL and whatever, but I think as far as coaching, you know, big-time college football or, you know, even the opportunity at the NFL, he's done. We didn't feel necessarily that way about Urban Meyer. I don't think there's any question that his health issues were legitimate and were very serious, the things that he was experiencing last year. But the question that we all had was, you know, if he takes a break and things kind of level out and his doctor says, yeah, you know what, I think this is kind of stabilized and, you know, you might be okay to go back. I don't think it would take a lot of arm twisting to get Urban Meyer back into college football. And USC was actually one of the schools that someone mentioned at that time, you know, that if Clay Helton could hold on for one more year or two, that would be a perfect landing spot for Urban. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but I don't think it's the craziest rumor out there, especially given that it's not going to happen for the coming season.
You know, I can see him getting back in it, recharging the batteries for a season, then making the jump. I mean, Urban's, I look at what he did at Bowling Green in Utah, and that's impressive, right? And he found quarterbacks, and he had his system, and he had Alex Smith there, and Utah was a really good team. It was pre-Pac-12 Utah, but Mountain West was, you know, a good conference that wasn't.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Chris, just because I know your audience will appreciate this, I'll throw out a bit of trivia if you didn't know this. Since 1950, there have been only two teams in the FBS that have won every game of the season by 14 points or more. One is 95 Nebraska. The other one is 2004 Utah, right, Urban Meyer coached. Uh-huh. So.
No, and yeah, Nebraska, I think rumor has it covered every game except one. in
95. Somebody was riding that train, I can promise you.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. We're just not going to point fingers in the studio at who. but when you look at winning by two touchdowns in Urban, Urban's gone to some programs that weren't that far gone, right? Ohio State, not far gone. Florida, not far gone. Far cry from what they were under Spurrier with Florida. And the trestle was done and Fickell filled in. So he has a habit of going to places that just need kind of a kickstart with lots of talent. Are you surprised that SC struggles like they have over the years post-Carroll?
Yeah, I am. I mean, look, we've seen this everywhere. I mean, there are a handful of programs, Nebraska certainly one of them, that have been so good for the last 50-plus years that you kind of get lulled into a position of thinking that anybody can win there. Like, you'd have to be an absolute idiot to not win at least 9 games every year. But all of those schools that we've kind of reached that level of thinking about, within the last, you know, 20 years, every one of them has had some kind of it's been different for all of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them have had periods where they were bad. Some others have just become mediocre for a stretch of maybe 3 seasons or so. And then USC is not exempt from it either. Just joined the club. I think the surprising thing about USC is that even during this time, you could still make the argument that they had the most talent in their conference. You know, and look, USC should always be among the most talented teams. Whether they're not nationally, within their conference, they should always be, if not the most talented team, very close to it, just because of the players that they're able to get based on their location. And I think that's what's most surprising, is that they've continued to have talent. Sure, they don't have the level of talent they had when Pete Carroll was bringing in you know, not only the best of Southern California, but cherry picking from the rest of the country where he needed guys. But still, there is there's way too much talent there to be able to excuse the records that they've had for most of the season since he left.
Completely agree with that, and you got to be in it to win the Pac-12 if you're SC, because you have that much talent. You're a private school. You have history. You're draped in history. and yet you are scuffling to 5-7, and you're losing nothing against Winningham and Utah, but you're losing to Utah. You're dropping one to Arizona State, or Oregon's pounding you. I mean, it's just been remarkable how they found inconsistency and then not stabilized it all. Brad Edwards with us. Brad, I want to kind of get your take on program leadership. And the reason I want to talk about this is there's a group of military veterans and trainers with the SEAL program that this is their second consecutive summer. They visited Nebraska. The program is the group. That's what they're called. Kind of a football hype video was sent out by Scott Frost on Twitter today. It was really pretty cool to check out. And this is the second season Nebraska's done it. I think Urban Meyer started this with Ohio State. Wasn't the first to do it, but it kind of became more mainstream when he jumped on it. And your dealings with Clemson and Alabama, those are the two teams everyone's chasing. Do they do things like this as well, or is it already set up? I mean, give me a look-see into Dabo and Saban, if you could, how they go about their business, even in the off season, to get their teams ready for the camp season.
Yeah, I think most programs at a high level have something like this, whether it's a certain type of drills or team building, experience that they go through, or whether it's just someone who comes in and gives a motivational talk, or it could even be a series of speakers. They're all different ways they approach it. And I think for each coach, depending on where they are at that given time, they might kind of tailor it to what they need for that season. So if you feel like there's a void in leadership, you might do something that's kind of geared toward, building leaders in the program. If you feel like, that it's just a matter of a bunch of talented guys being more motivated, then you might go in that direction. And so I think you see this all around. But, you mentioned this kind of the leadership aspect of it. And what jumped out at me as you were saying that is something that I've heard Saban say on a number of occasions, which is that, every offseason he hears people talk about, number of returning starters, or more, in line with his point, the number of lost starters from the previous year. And he said he's never concerned about the number of lost starters. He thinks the bigger deal is the number of lost leaders, and especially the leaders who are on the field. And, he said you could lose 8 starters off a unit, but if you've got, your 2 best leaders who are both returning, then you might not be as bad off as if you got 9 starters coming back, but the 2 you lost were your 2 best leaders. And so when, a lot of times when you've got a lot of talent and you're replacing lost talent with more talent, that's really what makes the difference is do you have the leaders out there on the field and the guys who are going to rally the troops? I mean, I say on the field, it's also off the field. It's when you're going through summer workouts. It's in the locker room at various times throughout the season, and it's the guys who are going to hold everyone accountable, so that it doesn't end up falling to the coaches to do that. I think if you don't have players who are going to step up and kind of fill that role, and it always has to get to the point where it's obvious to the coaches that it's lacking, in some cases it's too late. You have too big of a problem if it gets to the point where the coaches are having to take that action, and so. That's a big deal, is not just to have those leaders, but when one graduates, goes off to the NFL, whatever it is, that there's the next one who's going to step up and fill that void leadership-wise, not just, ability to make the same types of plays on the field.
Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day at J. Brad Edwards. Brad, a lot of fun today. Thanks for jumping on and talking some ball with me. We'll get caught up here down the summer. Thanks so much.
You got it. We'll have a college baseball champion next time we talk.
So, we will.
And then we won't care anymore about college baseball for 8 more months because it's football season.
We'll get into it. Take care. Thanks again.
See ya. All right. Take care.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Brad Edwards and Will Bolt. It's weird to say this. Former Oregon State head coach Pat Casey will join us to talk about his recommendation of Will Bolt with Bill Moose. That's in 15 minutes. We say hi to historian, author, and Hall of Famer. Covers Nebraska, has done so for 43 years and counting. Mike Babcock with us at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, awesome to see you at the Will Bolt press conference today. And I want to kind of get your thoughts on just the mood, right? Just the vibe that was there. And Will Bolt's a happy guy. He's getting his shot as a head coach after paying a lot of dues. But just the energy, it hasn't waned at all on another hire by Bill Moose.
No, not at all, Smitty. And the thing that struck me, and I said this to Kyle Cardell, you know, this was a baseball hire, and the room was packed. There was lots of media there. I don't recall it being quite that packed when Darren Erstedt was introduced. And if you go back, you know, there was more enthusiasm today than there has been in previous coaching hires in baseball. It kind of shows what, in part, it shows, I think, the interest or the support or whatever word you want to toss in there relative to Bill Moose's decision making and the hiring that he does. I think this was a great hire. I'm biased because I like when the decision is made to bring in former Huskers, get them back here. I hated to see Darren Erstedt step aside. I understand completely why he did it. And I understand why people like Erstedt were recommending Will Bolt, because I think that the thing that always impressed me about him as a player, the qualities that he had would be the qualities that would make him a very good, if not great, head coach.
Babbers, some of those qualities. I mean, and you've seen it in other athletes before that you've covered. You've seen it in other head coaches before. What are those qualities that shine through to you?
You know, he was just a gritty player. You know, that he was a hard nose. He had that hard edge to him when he got on the field, and he always played to the last out. And I know that's a cliche, but it really, you know, cliches come from real life experience, and he's one of those guys that underscores why you have cliches like that. He did play to the last out. He was a competitor first and foremost. He had that great energy. And, you know, as Bill Moose said today, and as is obvious, you know, a two-time captain, it sort of reflects that attitude. You know, I just got done writing something for the website, but, you know, when Bill Moose handed him the jersey and the hat, and he pulled the hat on, and he pulled the hat down like he always wore his hat, you know, to me that was kind of you never could quite see his eyes, but you knew that they were burning there. That, you know, he was just really determined to be successful, and I think the determination is what is going to wear off on those that he coaches. And the other thing that I appreciated and listened to him after he was at the podium, actually, was the degree of responsibility that he's already given his assistant coaches, Harvell and Jeff Christie. And, you know, I think that shows, again, a good coach, someone who is willing to give responsibility and allow those to whom he gives the responsibility to do their jobs. And I think to be a successful coach, you have to be able to do that. And that, you know, it indicated to me from what he said and from what Jeff Christie said that's the case.
Jeff Christie, let's spend a minute on Jeff Christie because he is a guy I loved talking to when he was at Nebraska as a player and as a assistant. And he's a guy that you watched many a night, as did I, when he was playing baseball with my brother, Legion Ball, and playing ball for Southeast. And, man, I mean, not only Will Bolt's story, but also Coach Christie's story full circle. And they're both just they have not stopped smiling, nor is Bill Moose. And that vibe and energy is kind of a focus today, but you feel it covering the team, and I think it will no doubt rub off on the players first, but then the fans second, where it could be a really good time for some big-time sports for Nebraska moving forward with all of these hires that Moose has made.
Yeah, no question. And you know, the thing, Jeff Christie has been of his eight seasons of coaching, he's been a volunteer assistant, six of those, I think he said.
Yeah.
You know, that shows the kind of determination that he has, the willingness to stick with it and believe that at some point he's going to have the opportunity similar to what he has now. You know, this is the opportunity that he's been waiting for, the willingness to stick it out and be a volunteer assistant for six seasons. And now here it is. You know, the opportunity is here, and he'll make the most of it. I think he'll be a great pitching coach. It was funny because Michael Brunson and I were talking yesterday about, you know, a catcher being a pitching coach. And I think Brunson, the first name he brought up was Dave Duncan. And sure enough, I think Will Bolt, that was the first name that he, when we were talking about Jeff Christie and being a pitching coach, he brought the name Dave Duncan. And, you know, I think that it's a telling fact that Jeff Christie, his senior year here, he called the pitches. You know, he was the catcher, and he called the pitches. And that shows you what sort of involvement and understanding he has about the game and about what it takes to be a pitcher. And I, you know, you look at major league managers that were catchers. There are a few of those guys.
A lot of them.
And they understand the game, and I think that was a great hire. And then of course, you know, I've all these Nebraska connections, and then you've got Harvell, but I found out that he has family connections in Seward, so he's got some Nebraska connections too. It's not like he's coming in here without any sense of what's going on, and by all indications, the three of them really, really have a good relationship. So I'm excited about what's going to happen here with the program and the leadership that they have.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You can read Babbers, of course, Hail Varsity Magazine. The yearbook is coming out, hailvarsity.com. Mike will have thoughts on Will Bolt, his staff today. And I want to switch gears, Mike, a couple minutes left. Isaiah Roby, the last time we heard so-and-so from Nebraska called by an NBA commissioner, Vincent Hamilton, 20 years ago. I liked Vincent a lot, but it's been a long wait for a lot of Nebraska fans. Any prediction for me? Are you going to go with the latest mock that says, all right, let's go to New Orleans, Isaiah? Or do you think he could sneak to your Golden State, the San Antonio grab him? What do you envision for Roby tonight?
You know, I have no sense of how that's going to go. I know that my Golden State Warriors are faltering and going to have to struggle to get into the playoffs next year probably with all the injuries.
There aren't many crying for you, Mike.
I know. Now I'll just have to be an anti-Lakers.
You'll have to deal with being a 7 seed for once in a while.
Craig Smith wouldn't appreciate me saying that probably. You know, let me tell you a Vincent Hamilton quick story. Hamilton, so Sporting News, I think it was, after his junior year, whatever, rated him as put him as the most overrated player.
I saw that, yeah.
In the conference. And somebody at a news conference said, hey, Vincent, what do you think about that? You're voted the most overrated player in the conference by Sporting News. And he said, I didn't even know I was rated.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good comeback. Yeah, he was a good player. You know, that was a
player
that
was
of the a
year.
Bad rap.
Player of the year in the Big 12.
Very good player. But no, and you know, I was one of those people that said I thought Roby should come back. I didn't think he'd have an opportunity in the draft, and now, you know, he's going to have that opportunity, and whatever team takes him, you know, I just I hope for the best for him. You know, he really has, as we've talked before, he has the athleticism. He just needs to be more consistent, and I think he needs to develop a consistent shot, jump shot. You know, he's. You know, a lot of the things that he could do here, a lot of people do in the NBA. But again, I think he has the athleticism to be able to do it in the right situation. That's the whole thing with the draft. The right team. You got to go with the right team. and have the right opportunity. And if you do, you can play. So, you know, I would not have had a whole lot of interest in the draft except for that, and now I do have some interest. So, I really hope that he gets that right team, the right opportunity, and is able to make the most of it.
I mean, I've seen a lot. I mean, I've seen Atlanta, I've seen Phoenix, I have seen Philly, Brooklyn, and just kind of doing the quick straw poll, Hail Varsity office. Okay, you're for Golden State. Of course, Derek's for OKC. Jacob Padilla's for the Suns, and Greg is still wearing his Lakers AD jersey right now, I believe. Greg rushed out, got home, away, and throwback. So there's where you're at. Carson's an OKC guy, so he's going to be rooting with Derek for OKC. And Colton's not wearing his Miami jersey today, but he's a Heat guy because of D-Wade. So you never know.
You know, looking at those, which do you think would be the best fit in terms of what?
I think he'd be amazing in Golden State.
Yeah, he probably would, and he probably would have an opportunity to learn there in a way that, you know, they could definitely use him. But you know, and again, I think it's kind of a crapshoot picking who might select him, because it's going to depend on who goes, you know, ahead of him and so forth, and where you have some opportunity. But it's got to be really exciting for him to have that opportunity, and you know, for Husker fans to say, hey, that's one of ours that's out there is going to get a shot. So, and you know, hopefully maybe a free agent tryout or something works out for James Palmer.
I think JPJ will get a notice for sure. Well, Babber's got to run. Thank you so much for your insight. This was fun. Texting with our dear friend Garth Glitzman, who just got to the NBA draft. He is letting me know that Zion's on standby. I wish.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to ask. Babbers, thanks so much. We'll get caught up next week. Thanks again for the time, sir.
Great talking to you, Smitty. Thanks a lot.
There he is. Babbers is pulling hard for Golden State and Isaiah Roby. I love it. Three-time national champ Pat Casey on the way next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Want to say hi to a Hall of Fame coach, multiple-time national champion, made Omaha his home this time of year, many years. We say hi to Pat Casey back with us. Coach, it's wonderful to chat with you. Thanks for the time.
Hey man, I wish I was where you are. That's what I wish I was in. I wish I was in Omaha, Nebraska right now, just trying to figure out how to win the next game.
Well, my friend, it was so much fun years ago having you on Radio Row with us and keeping in touch with you as long as we have. You always take our call, and we are so thankful for that. And we are up there Tuesday, all too familiar with the old weather delay in Omaha that happens this time of year. But it's been an incredible College World Series this year, and I know you are enjoying retirement. I wanted to get your thoughts, Coach, as Bill Moose reached out to you on Will Bolt. And Will's a guy I've covered for years, and excited that he's back at Nebraska. But wanted your input and thoughts on Nebraska's hire today. And the fans are excited. People covering the team are excited. But just your input on Will Bolt in Lincoln.
Well, first of all, I think it's an awesome hire. You know, there's so many elements to that I could talk about. One is, you know, you got a guy like Darren Erstad who goes out with the thing going forward. You know, here's a guy that's played big league baseball, been there, done his deal, and wants to spend time with his family. But the class guy he is, it's on the uptick. You know, Nebraska baseball is rolling. And I know how much he wants it to roll. And then you got a guy like Bill Moose, who's absolutely just on the cutting edge of everything that's good about college athletics. What he's done there in such a short period of time, with your football program, your baseball program, and your basketball program, Hoberg and Frost, and now you got Will. I mean, just amazing when you have that kind of a proactive AD who's out there, who takes the time, the energy, and the passion to get the right fit, the real people, And Bolt's going to, in my opinion, is going to kill it there. I think he's an outstanding recruiter. He's aggressive. He's a Husker. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, I don't know how you could, he hit a home run with guys in the dugout with him. You know, it's a 5-run homer, I guess. So that's what we'll call it.
5-run homer. Pat Casey's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hall of Fame coach, Oregon State, and thoughts on Will Bolt. How long have you known Bill Moos? How far back does your guys' relationship go?
Well, a long, long time. I probably, my first crossings with Bill probably would have been in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Well, matter of fact, it was. I know that for sure. And one of my good friends in life, Tim Hennessy, and Bill Moos used to be business partners. They've known each other forever. I probably crossed paths with Bill in the late 90s. I'll never forget. Here he is, the AD at Oregon, and he gives me a call. We win our national championship. Just a class guy, and like I said, you know, when he went to Washington State, I knew that thing was going to get flipped around. And the football program has done things that nobody dreamed they could do over the last 5 years. And then he goes to Nebraska, and he's absolutely taken that thing by storm. And the success you've had in many sports, not just you know, the major sports, but, you know, I follow what happens there because I follow Bill. I love talking to him on the phone. You know, we'll talk for 15, 20 minutes about nothing but life before we ever talk about candidates and programs and anything like that, you know. I mean, and he is a unique guy because it's real, and just a great man.
Were you surprised to get as far back as you guys go? Were you surprised, or were you thinking he might reach out to you as far as for the baseball opening?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, in our discussions about everything, you know, we talk about a lot of things. He knows how I felt. We, you know, like I said, we talked about cattle ranching. We talked about steaks. We talked about the football program. We laughed about Hennessy. We laughed about the old times. We were at a dinner one time on St. Patrick's Day in the year 2000, I think it was, here in Corvallis, and laughed about all the things that happened at the dinner. So, you know, he had a really good feel for where I was and what I wanted to do and where I'm at, and knows that if I was ready to come back to coaching, that would be something that I would certainly visit with him about and all that. And, you know, at this point in time, no, just not ready for that. Enjoying some of the things with watching my family that I haven't had a chance to do. So, you know, our discussions were, like I said, they were a lot about life. They were a lot about people. They were a lot about how much success he's had there, where he sees things, how he, you know, I think that's one of the things I think is the most appealing to me when I hear somebody that they're not just satisfied with being mediocre or being above average, you know, always looking to get better, always finding ways to be on the cutting edge. So I'm excited for Will, man. I know what's going to happen there, and I know how he recruits, and I know I talked to Rob Childers. Me and Rob had a long conversation. And, you know, he certainly is a huge advocate and knows that that's a big loss for Texas A&M. Hey,
Pat Casey's with us, legendary coach at Oregon State. His thoughts on Will Bolt as he was part of the group that was consulted by Bill Moos, Rob Childress, Pat Casey. And Will's name was the name for the Nebraska job to follow Coach Erstad. Coach, I got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes here, and you're awesome for taking the phone call. Michigan is at 2-0. Vandy's at 2-0. Louisville's still fighting tonight, trying to stay alive with Mississippi State. Have you watched this year's CWS at all, or have you stayed away since you've stepped away?
No, man, I've locked in, man. I've watched. I didn't miss the pitch for the Oregon State season, and most of them were on TV and that. But no, I've watched everything there. Obviously, know all those guys there. It's funny. Dan won the Supers, and I shot him a text. Congrats! I saw Corbs at the convention. I know how good that club is. Obviously, talent wise, Vanderbilt is crazy talented. And they're all talented, or they wouldn't be there. There's no question about that. You know, I think Michigan, I love watching Michigan play right now because they're out here in our regional, and I saw how athletic they were. I watched them against Savage and UCLA, who I have such great respect for. You know, Michigan is the team that is going to, they've got the tools out right now to fight you. And, you know, Vandy's got a ton of talent. Mississippi State's not going to back down from anybody. You know, everybody knows what Louisville's capable of doing. So I just think it's a really awesome group that's left. You know, geez, what Dave did at Arkansas this year, the losses they have, good for him. You know, it was just good. It's fun. It's and I laugh when it rains because nobody has spent more time in the clubhouse than Coach Casey when in rain delays. You know, I think that they named that after me, Storm Chasers. Casey's right in the middle. I was the eye of the storm in Omaha. So
that's so good. That's so good.
I love that play. I was going to fly back. I still might fly back. So,
well, give us a shout and we'll get one of those steaks, Coach. You take care and best to you. And thanks for the time today.
You got it, man.
Talk
to you later.
All right, there he is, Pat Casey with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Good insight from him. And Bill Moose reaching out. Wasn't a feeler to Pat Casey is about the job so much as who's the guy. And great explanation from Coach Casey. They named the rain delay after him. Bill Moose knows everybody. It's kind of what it comes down to. We'll wind down a busy Thursday on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's been a busy one. I need to relax. That means I got a beeline to 20th and Highway 2 Home Innovation Spas. Deb the Spa Lady in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, and spasonline.com. Deb, can you find me a spa?
Oh, you know I can. You just need to come out here and let's look through all of our inventory, find you that perfect spa, and then we'll take it from there. We do all the hard work. We get it delivered. We have financing. We have our own electrician. We make it easy, nice and simple. The hardest part is picking the model and the color.
Well, and the other hard part is you know, finding that spa that you personally set in. I mean, I think that's the big bestseller, is the one that Deb, the spa lady's used.
That's right. That really shows you the true one. And I would say get a swim spa.
Oh.
That's where I would steer you, because those are so awesome. Right now, people are starting to turn the temperature down in their swim spas and using them as a pool. So you still have that therapy because you have all the jets in the seats, but you have a little bit cooler water that you can just lounge in and, you know, get a floaty out there and just lay out on an afternoon. And the nice thing is you don't have to close your swim spa in the fall and open it up again in the spring. You use it 12 months, 24/7, anytime, any day.
Therapy. It's right there with Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb will pick one out with you. Deb can pick one out for you. Or she tell her what you want, and they'll get it delivered.
Oh, fine. Yep, I'll find it for you. I'll find it. If it's out there, I'll find it.
It's a winner. Deb, hours. If folks want to come visit you and find that swim spa, find that two-seater, find that swim spa that is that perfect color, when can they come see you?
They can see us 10 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday. We'll be here.
Well, we'll come see you, Deb, and I love that idea. My buddy Joel got a swim spa from you guys. He is the happiest dude there is. He's excited about
it.
And you've been rocking and rolling it for 25 years and counting. You keep up the great work, and we'll come see you soon. Thanks for jumping on with this, Deb.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
There she is, Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com. If you need some relaxation, it's been a day. It's been a good day. Great stuff from Mike Babcock and Brad Edwards. Awesome to get caught up with head coach Will Bolt for Nebraska baseball. Tremendous insight from Pat Casey when it comes to the phone call from Bill Moose on the Nebraska hire And you couldn't have better recommendations than what you got from Rob Childress and Pat Casey and Darren Erstad on Will Bolt. And Bill Moose said, let's do it. Parker Gabriel, fantastic today in hour one. NBA draft tonight. Where will Roby go? We should have done a Roby draft. We should have took calls. And you pick a team, and if you're right, Colton will sign your hat. Back tomorrow, 4 o'clock with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.